You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Am I curious?
Am I curious?
Am I curious?
And it is time for another round of Am I Curious? You ask whatever question is on your mind, and we dig up the answer. For today's question, we get to say hello to Michigan radio listener Olivia Cushway of Ypsilanti. Hey, Olivia.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. So what is your Am I Curious question?
I was wondering what happened to the ghost town of Pear Shady. I had kind of stumbled upon it online, and I was first off really amazed that there was ghost towns in Michigan. That kind of reminds me of the Wild West. But it just really got me curious and wanted to know more about what happened to it.
Very good. Well, we've got the perfect person to answer your question, one of our partners at the Michigan History Center. Steve Ostrander is here with us. Thanks for helping out with our Am I Curious question, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Well, where is, or more correctly, where was Pear Shady located?
Pear Shady is located about 12 miles southeast of Grayling. It's in the area up there that they call the Pine Plains. It's in Beaver Creek Township. And if you're a bird watcher, you would know this area because this is Kirtland Warbler habitat area.
Okay. So how did it get its name? Let's start with that.
In 1873, a man named George Haney received a land grant from the Michigan Central Railroad to establish a stop on the railroad tracks, which at the time was called the Mackinac Line. And at the Mackinac Line ran from Bay City to Mackinac City. And Mr. Cheney also established the Cheney House Hotel, and he was proprietor of the hotel there.
So what led to the town being established? What time period are we looking at?
This was in 1873 that he received his land grant, and the railroad, when they were building lines, they needed stops on the line, and these stops would be places where they would take on water, they would take on freight, they would pick up and drop off passengers. So that was the main reason why they wanted this stop established. And so the town supported mostly the logging industry up there, and they employed lumberjacks, teamsters, cooks, timber cruisers, people like that. So they were cutting pine timber in the area, and there was a secondary industry up there of people, tradesmen like wagon makers, blacksmiths, storekeepers. There was a sawmill there, a general store, a hotel, a post office, a railroad depot, and there was even a doctor living up there.
Well, it seems to be things were humming along a pretty normal path of development for Pear Shady. What happened to turn it into a ghost town?
Well, there was several reasons for the demise of the town. Number one, and I always found this an interesting story, there was an election held in Grayling to determine what would be the county seat of Crawford County. And because the election was in Grayling, the residents of Pear Shady had to walk 12 miles up the railroad tracks to Grayling to vote in the election. And for whatever reason, whether some of them just didn't make the trip, they were outnumbered in the election. Grayling won the election, and so Grayling became the county seat of Crawford County. Later on in 1881, the Michigan Central Railroad established the headquarters of the Mackinac Division in Grayling and passed Pear Shady by, so that was another reason. Also, Grayling is, if you're familiar with your Michigan geography, you would know the Ausable River flows through Grayling, and that supplied water power to run mills there, and there was no river in Pear Shady, so Grayling had that advantage as well. And another reason is, once all the trees were cut around Pear Shady, the land up there, the soil is very sandy and not really conducive for agriculture. So there just wasn't a lot that people could do in terms of farming around there.
And no scenic lake like, for example, you have in Grayling where people can enjoy that as well. So there really wasn't a lot of reason to go to Pear Shady anymore?
No river, no lake really close to Pear Shady. I've been there several times. There's just a lot of pine trees up there, jack pines. And, you know, if you like to birdwatch, it's a great place to see Kirtland warblers. But other than that, there's just not a lot going on there.
Any remnants of old buildings?
No, because of vandalism and forest fires, all the buildings have been destroyed. There is a cemetery there, and the cemetery is rumored to be haunted. There are rumors floating around on the Internet and from talking to people that if you go out there that you may see former residents out there. But I've been there many times, and I've never seen anything out of the ordinary there. just a peaceful cemetery there where a lot of the residents are, you know, in their final resting place.
So seems like it was done in by the economy with logging changing, with geography. If you had to walk 12 miles along railroad track to vote, I guess a lot of people said, forget it. And then, yeah, the politics, all of that.
Yeah, the town reached its peak of about 60 residents, and that would have been around the turn of the century. And really by the teens, there were not that many people left there. And certainly by the Great Depression, everybody had pretty much moved out of there and abandoned the town.
There we go. Olivia, any follow-up question you'd like to ask, or did Steve pretty much answer your questions?
That's so interesting. I didn't know a lot of that. I had read a lot about diphtheria wiping out the town through disease. Was that something that was real? I know I saw a lot about the folklore as well with the haunted cemetery, but it seems kind of more like something kids go do at night.
Yeah, that's a good question. You're right. There were epidemics that went through the town. In fact, when I was doing research and writing an article about the town, I did a survey of the cemetery, and I found one grave where the parents were buried, and three children were buried with them that died as infants and died, I think, within a time span of about a month. So it was either diphtheria or cholera or something like that that took them, but it was very sad.
Interesting. And, yes, we do have ghost towns in Michigan. Olivia, we're doing a series on them, so you just keep listening to Stateside. You'll hear about more. We've had some already on, and it is interesting. As you say, we think Old West and ghost towns, but they're definitely in Michigan as well. Olivia, thank you so much for listening to Michigan Radio and for your Am I Curious question.
Thank you. I really appreciate being included. It's awesome.
And Steve Ostrander, Michigan History Center, thank you so very much for sharing all of your great Michigan history know-how with us. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.